This is Guildcast, episode 5, for December 20th, 2005. Everyone to Guildcast. I'm glad you could join me. This is episode 5, and my name is Sean. I just recently returned from about a week-long vacation. Went to go see some family up in Chicago, and turns out that while I was gone, quite a bit happened in Guild Wars. They finally had the new update that they've been promising for about, about a month and a half. And I'll be going over that a little bit later. But first I wanted to thank a lot of the people I've been questing with in the game. I've written down a few names, and I actually just recently started writing down the names. But I apologize to all the people who I've talked to that I didn't write down your names. But I'd like to thank everyone. I've heard nothing but good things, a couple negative things, but that's completely understandable with something like this. But I wanted to read off a few names of people that have helped me out in the game. I've talked to a little bit, and I know I'm going to butcher these names, so bear with me. But people like Zaproth Wind, Mr. Monkington, Cygnus Zero, Oh No a Monk, Captain Carl, and all the guys in the Legion of Synergy Triumphalis, or however you pronounce that. They helped me out on a few missions, like Last Day Dawns, and we attempted defend North Krita Province together, but it was getting a little late. It was really nice to work with a bunch of guys who seemed like they knew what they were doing and worked well together. So I just wanted to go ahead and thank them. Also, since I started that new voicemail feature last episode, it's been about a week and a half now, I've actually only gotten one voicemail, and I'm going to go ahead and play that now, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it. But it's from James in Colorado.
Hey, this is James. I'm calling from Colorado, and I decided to call you just to kind of give you some tips as far as what I'd be looking for. I started out with World of Warcraft and came to this one because, one, it was free, and, two, I was kind of getting a little tired of World of Warcraft. So what I'd like to hear, if possible, is more of like a beginner's guide of what to know when you first start the game, because I know when I first started, things were very confusing. I went through several characters before I realized things I wasn't supposed to do and things I should be doing. And just kind of would like to hear your take on the whole thing as far as what beginners should be doing. I look forward to your next podcast.
Thanks for the call, James. And you bring up some good points there, especially about, you know, more of a guide for beginners. Because I know, like, when I first started out the game, if anybody else is like me, you know, I didn't read the instruction manual. I pretty much just dove right in and, you know, wanted to see what the game was all about. I've heard so many good things about it, you know, and I just wanted to check it out firsthand. And I didn't realize, actually, even with the manual, I didn't even know about salvage kits and identification kits and all that kind of stuff. And it took me quite a while to learn, you know, even the basics of the game. And there was a lot I skipped over. Just like James said, you know, there's a lot you miss in the first parts of the game that you really wish you could go back and do again. But usually people do that with their second character or whatever, or they'll, you know, their first character, rarely do people keep their first character. Usually it's, you know, you mess up so much. Like, I know my first character, I think, was an elementalist, and when I got her post-searing, there was just so much I missed, and I was like, I need to just start over again, because I realized all the stuff that had to be done. So I went back and started a new character. But what I'm going to do about this is I'm going to, since there's so much I have to talk about now, especially with the updates and everything, I'm going to make another show this weekend and try to get back on track of making a show, you know, on Fridays or right around there. So this weekend I'm going to make another show, and I'm going to talk all about the basics of the game, you know, starting out, what the game means, kind of a little bit more of a backstory on the game and what it's supposed to be all about. So look for that episode this weekend. Also, I wanted to talk a little bit about the fan fiction. I'm going to continue to add fan fiction to the website, stories that I find really interesting, but I think what I'm going to do is stop reading it on the podcast itself. unless I can get enough people to tell me that they enjoy it. But pretty much, mostly people have been saying that they that it's the one part of the podcast they don't really like that much. So I'm not gonna read it on the air anymore. But I'm gonna link to it. And what I wanted to talk about this episode was by a guy named I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Rezon, R-E-Z-O-N, Rezon, something like that. He did something that I think is pretty hilarious. He actually made mock NPC interviews, such as, you know, like if he was interviewing Alicia or Orion or, you know, the other henchmen. And it's actually pretty funny. It's set up to where he, you know, he goes to interview these people. His character goes to interview these henchmen, and just the reactions and everything. And the one, especially the Alicia one, is just priceless. But I'm going to put a link to each one on the website, and so you can go check that out. All right, so now a little bit about the new Guild Wars World Championship that's been announced. It's the 2006 World Championship. And I'm just going to go quickly over some of the rules, because a lot of the details aren't too interesting, and you can check those out on the Guild Wars website at guildwars.com. But it's basically one big GVG battle, and the top six finishers will win cash, trips, and a bunch of other prizes they haven't really listed yet. But the things that they have announced are the ladder season for the guilds. It started actually already on October 1st, and it'll end on January 1st, and that's when the season actually starts as far as getting to the point to be in the World Championship, kind of like semifinals, I guess. But the actual playoff matches themselves will be from Saturday, January 7th to Saturday, January 14th, 2006, and they'll be in the time zone of each region. After the playoffs, the winning six finishers will go to the World Championship, which is in Taipei, in Taiwan. Taipei Game Show is what it's called, from February 16th to February 19th, 2006. And what they're going to do is they're going to take a maximum of 8 eligible guild members from each of the guilds that will be participating, and they'll fly them there for the World Championship. But the prizes sound pretty good. They have the prizes listed on the Guild Wars website. First place is $50,000 cash. Second place is $25,000. Third and fourth place are both $10,000. And fifth and sixth place are both $2,500. So far, they haven't announced the other prizes yet, but the cash alone seems like pretty good incentive. So it seems Gale Gray has been cited again in Lion's Arch. Gale Gray, of course, being the public relations person for ArenaNet. And she, every once in a while, will come into Lion's Arch, and especially after an update, and give us a little bit of a tease of what's to come in the next update. Or she likes to talk a lot about, she likes to answer a lot of questions, you know. But this time she talked a little bit about a few different things, one of them being, of course, Chapter 2 coming out early next year. She says the first half of 2006. I believe her actual quote is, "Here's my noble offer. If we release on June 30th, I owe you all chocolates." Meaning basically that she's given her word that it's going to be before June 30th, 2006. Some other points she talked about in the upcoming Chapter 2 is Observer Mode, which a lot of people have been talking about. She's talking about an auction house that's supposed to be coming out, which should be really nice. And a lot of the forums have been speculating about this, where you won't have to worry about that annoying trade channel spamming up, you know, the screen all the time. Especially if you try going to Lion's Arch District 1. You can't even, it's just a blur of pink, basically, and white. So that should be a good improvement. Also, she talked a little bit about guild storage, which I'm assuming means that there will be, in your guild hall itself, there will be a storage area, which would help out tremendously for a lot of people. You can, you know, especially if you trust your guild mates. But the only problem with that is if you get people in there who you don't trust. So it's going to be, for that reason, I believe guild member selection will probably be a lot pickier. She also mentions new emotes will be coming out in the new chapter. Of course, they're not saying which ones yet, but that should be pretty exciting. Also, she talks about new races, but she doesn't mention if they're playable races. Also, she talks about pets, and presumably there will be more pets available, as well as more options with the pets, more skills for the pets, things like that. I know for a while, now this is just complete speculation, she hasn't said anything definite about this, but people were talking in forums about armor for your pets, which I think would be kind of hokey, but I don't know, we'll see. Another thing she touches on a little bit is the Christmas event that should be coming very soon. I anticipate that coming out within the next couple days, since Christmas is on Sunday. So hopefully if it comes out before episode 6, I can talk more about that and kind of go over what's been changed with the Christmas update. But I don't anticipate it being very, manger scene and baby Jesus kind of stuff. I'm sure it's going to be more of a Happy Holidays type of a scenario, to be more politically correct. Actually, her quote for the Christmas event is Winter Festival, so that would make more sense. She touches on a few other things, such as hair dye, a possibility of hair dye someday. She says she can see them offering haircuts or hair dyes, full character appearance changing, but then she says perhaps not. So I think she's teasing us a little bit. She likes to do that. She says there'll be more dance moves, which is very important in the game, especially pre-searing. Of course, a lot of people have suggested being able to change your name after you make your character, but for obvious reasons, they're not going to implement that. She actually discusses a little bit more about the Observer mode. She says that it's not too far away, and I'm taking that to mean that it's not going to be in Chapter 2, that it might actually come out before then. She says also that there will be 2 more regions. I know there's been speculation about adding more regions to the map, but she confirms that there will be 2 more. She's actually going to be doing an interview pretty soon with one of the websites that I go to a lot. And once she does that, I'll be sure to get some more information and read it on the podcast. I wanted to announce something that I found that was pretty interesting, that will start tomorrow night, December 21st, from about 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. And what it is the guild known as Lady Blue Steel's Running Academy, with the initials LBS, will be giving free Drachner's Forge runs. And what they need you to do is meet them in Beacon's Perch, District 1 or 2. And from that time, from 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. tomorrow night, they'll be giving free runs for anybody. So I highly suggest, if you have a character that hasn't been to Drachner's yet, to get to Beacon's Perch however you can and take advantage of this, because it's very generous of them to do this, especially since the update. It's almost impossible now for anyone but an expert runner to do this run. So tomorrow night, December 21st, 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, look for the people with the initials LBS after their name, or look for the people announcing the free run and take advantage of that, because it's not going to happen often. And now onto the highly anticipated game update that came out on December 15th, last Thursday. I'm going to go over each key point. Some of them I'll talk a little bit about, but most of them are pretty self-explanatory and also pretty minor, but some of the major ones I'll go over. Like, of course, the one that a lot of people have been waiting for is the new 15k Tormentor's armor for the Necromancer. There's been a lot of disappointment about this in the forums. Most people aren't very impressed, but I'll let you judge for yourself. I put a few links to some pictures on the website at guildcast.com, and in the show notes for today, for this episode, you can check it out. There's some links to the male Necro armor, thanks to a guy named Cygnus Zero. He took some screenshots for me. And then there's also some pictures I got from various forums of the female version. Another thing they did in the update was they improved the automatic guild matchmaking to better match guilds with those of nearby rating levels. I know there's a lot of times when you play GVG and they match you up against some guild that's way up on the ladder, and it just seems kind of unfair, but supposedly they've evened that out a little bit. Alright, they fixed sacrifice skills so that a player who sacrifices all of his remaining health will die. Previously, a bug allowed the player to stay alive if he had positive health regeneration when he sacrificed all of his remaining health. That's pretty self-explanatory. Basically, it's for necros when they have to sacrifice skills. And that makes sense. You know, why should you stay alive if you're sacrificing yourself that much? Also, they fixed the whirling defense so that it deals the correct amount of damage as shown in the skill description. I guess before they had the amount of damage shown in the skill description according to the player's attribute level, but the actual damage dealt did not show up. So they fixed that. Also, they fixed Spiteful Spirit so that it correctly triggers on any skill use as specified in the skill description. Previously, it was failing to trigger on stances, shouts, and other instant cast skills. They've also fixed Scourge Sacrifice so that it affects the target foe and his adjacent foes as specified in the skill description. Before, it was incorrectly affecting foes adjacent to the caster instead of foes adjacent to the target foe. Also, they fixed the text displayed when you hold down the control key to announce the use of Cyclone Axe or Crude Swing. I wasn't aware of that, but I guess there were some problems with that. They also added a new player status choice in the Friends window called Do Not Disturb, which blocks all incoming whispers. And that's a pretty good feature. If you're playing and you don't want anybody to bother you at all, you can put that on. That way they can still see you're online, as opposed to you can put yourself offline and nobody can talk to you. But also now you can, the Do Not Disturb shows that you're still online but you don't want to be disturbed. They also added mouse wheel zooming to the map overlay screen, which comes in pretty handy. I usually never zoom in that far. You know, when you press U, you get the map overlay screen, the smaller one, so you can see where you're going. There's no real need to zoom way in because it's pretty pixelated, but they made that feature, so that's pretty good. They've also added the ability to review the previous game's PvP score chart while in an outpost. They've improved the chat window so that it remembers its previous state when switching maps. They fixed the skill monitor's mouse tooltips so that they don't disappear while the skill is executing. They've improved the skill bar so that it displays warnings of skills that are not compatible with your currently equipped weapon. That could come in very handy. They added an error message that is displayed when an attack skill is used on an invalid target. They changed the customized control dialog so that it ignores problematic keys such as scroll lock. They've improved the organization of the start menu. They've relocated the customized layout function to the options window, which is F11. They've added support for players with non-Korean accounts typing Hangul in the international districts, and they've updated translations. So that's pretty much the update in a nutshell. I think the way they set that up, it's pretty much in order of importance, I'd say, at least to me, with that 15k Tormentor's Armor being number one, because a lot of people were talking about that, and a lot of people were really kind of crying about that, so it's good that that finally came out. Now we look forward to the next update, which will probably be very soon, because it should incorporate the Winter Festival update. So we'll look forward to that. Alright, and last but not least tonight, I'm going to talk about the process of changing your second profession. I know a lot of people don't understand what exactly is involved in that. Even after they've become ascended, they get to that point where they get to these, they can actually get to the city, they can talk to the people to change their second profession who give them the quest, and they still don't really understand what's all involved. And I know I was at that same point when my first character went through that. So I'm going to go over a little bit of that. First of all, you need to be ascended. And like I talked about last episode about how to do that, but you need to be ascended, and you need to go back to Drachner's Forge after you become ascended and talk to an NPC named Venai, I believe that's how you pronounce it, and she'll give you the quest Hero's Journey, which that basically does is it tells you to go to every other city in the desert besides the mission towns that you've already been to. There's the outposts such as Hero's Audience, Seeker's Passage, Destiny's Gorge. Those three are the big ones, and when you get to those is when you talk to the spirits. There's kind of greenish ghosts that you have to talk to, and they'll give you these quests to get your second profession. Each one is worth 1,000 experience points, and you can actually do every one of them if you want to. If even if you do the quest, it doesn't mean you have to take that second profession as your second profession, but it's actually pretty helpful. What most people do and what I've done is you just go through and do every quest for each profession. Then later on, you always have that choice where you can change back. Because once you change your second profession, you can always go back and change it again, as long as you've done all the missions. Like, I could go back with my warrior monk right now and make him a warrior necromancer. Then I could switch him, you know, warrior mesmer, and then I could even go back to warrior monk again if I wanted to. But I think that's a pretty good feature of the game. A lot of people will do that, where they'll change back and forth, and it works out pretty good. But anyway, let's start out with a ranger's path. This one you get from a spirit named Telius, T-E-L-I-U-S, and he's in Seeker's Passage. What you need to basically do in this is you need to slay the Stormkin boss in Salt Flats. If I remember correctly, this one, there were a lot of Stormkin around him, but it's not too difficult, as long as you bring groups of them at you at a time. You know, you aggro a few little groups at a time, kill them off. Don't try to take the whole group, because you'll never make it. The next one in Seeker's Passage is the Monk's Path, and you can get that from an NPC named Naswan, N-A-U-S-U-A-N. What you need to do in that quest is you need to destroy the Eater of Souls in Diviner's Ascent. Now we move over to Destiny's Gorge, where you'll find the quest for the Warrior's Path, which is given by a guy named Agastus the Brave. That's A-G-A-S-T-O-S, the Brave. And basically what you need to do there is you need to slay the Orchid Chieftain in the Scar, the region known as the Scar. That one I've never done, actually. I think that's the only one I've never done. But I imagine that can't be too hard. Now, still in Destiny's Gorge, you can find the quest for the Mesmer's Path, which is given by an NPC named Eulenius, E-U-L-E-N-I-A-S. And what you need to do there is slay the Tempest Drakes in Diviner's Ascent. You need to kill them all at the same time. You can't kill some and go back and do it again. And that's the last one in Destiny's Gorge. Then you go to Hero's Audience, where there's the last two. There's the Elemental's Path from an NPC named Cembrien, C-E-M-B-R-I-E-N. And this one I've done a few times. It's a little difficult. What you need to do is you need to go to Prophet's Path and slay the Kree Minotaur. And that's not so difficult, but the fact that you can never find that Kree Minotaur anywhere. You go there, you follow the star, you know, you follow the green arrow to the star, and you get there, and he's never there. Or at least every time I've done it. I've done it three times, I think. And he's never there, so you just basically have to just run around the desert in that area, coming back to that star every once in a while to make sure he didn't come back, because he will come back. You know, you keep looking around in that area, keep hitting your control key to, you know, see if he's in range. He will come back to that area. I think he runs away when you first get near him, but then he'll come back. Then there's the Necromancer's Path, which is given by an NPC named Zratha Kor, Z-R-A-T-H-A-K-O-R. And he's the last one in Hero's Audience, and the quest here is you have to slay the Sacred Griffin of Amnoon in Prophet's Path. And that one is not too difficult either. But there you have it. Basically, every quest is slaying something, some kind of boss. And once you do it, you can go back to the person who gave you the quest, and you can get not only the 1,000 experience, but you also get that chance to change your second profession. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode. I hope the information I've given you has been helpful, and I hope we all learned something tonight. But like I said, I'm going to make another episode. Episode 6 is going to come out this weekend, where I'll talk more about the basics of the game and kind of a more detailed overview of what needs to be done, probably about up to the point where you get to post-searing. Then after that, I'll just kind of fly by some more general basics. But I know a lot of people get stuck in pre-searing, but if you make it past pre-searing, even past the first couple missions in post-searing, then you should have a pretty good idea of what the game's all about, as far as the basics of the game. But I'll go over that. And if anyone wants to call in, Like I mentioned before, I've only gotten one call so far, but I'd love to get more. So go ahead and give me a call at 1-206-666-GWEN. That's 4936. You can also email me at Sean@guildcast.com, SHAWN@GUILDCAST.com. You can check out the website at www.guildcast.com, where I put up show notes for each show with links to certain topics that I talk about. I'll also write some news up there every once in a while, not so much right after a show, but just whenever I get some news, mostly about the site. So go ahead and check that out. And of course, you can always reach me in the game with my characters Walmart Special, BBQ Ribs, or Priestess Julie. But be sure to spread the good word, tell your friends, tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.